Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got our popcorn machine back here at AFR. You know, we have a very AFA-friendly church here in our community who gave us the popcorn machine.
Yeah, one of those you see like in movie theaters and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our staff makes use of what we call Obama corn.
Because it's free. And we've come to expect it. We feel entitled to it now.
Yes. So we call it Obama corn, and
we really do. We've been saying that since the, right. Remember the Obama phone lady?
Yes.
Remember way
yes.
back when he first got elected?
So don't say we're not paying tribute to the former president.
We are.
In our own way. So.
And in our own way, we've adopted some socialist, you know, beliefs.
To show you our addiction to free stuff, which is not really free, the church took the popcorn machine. That once a year, they take it back.
For the harvest festival thing that they have.
Yeah, or Reformation Day or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, whatever.
And when the popcorn machine, which is here year-round, which they gave us, is gone, for 2 days, I mean, physically removed from our building and
right.
taken over there. There are some hard feelings that developed, and it shouldn't, but it shows the greed of man.
I confess
you
that when I walk around that corner and realize, remember,
right.
oh, it's that time of the year.
Yes.
I think, well,
how dare they?
Can't they get their own machine?
Right, even though they gave it to us.
Right.
Huh? You sort of developed that.
I had to spend money where
right.
we have our snacks and get some of these
right.
little bags of peanuts.
Right.
Well, just
huh.
did not get the job
right.
done.
Right. Why don't they come get their popcorn machine? Why don't they do something else?
Yeah.
You know, give them Snickers or something. I don't know. But that's that popcorn machine they gave us out of the goodness of their heart. That's ours now.
Yeah. It shows you. It really does show you the evil and the evil in men's,
well,
in men's hearts. Myself included.
Honest to goodness, I did go. A second day, I was going, when are they bringing that thing back?
Yeah.
Come on now. They've had it a whole day.
Reformation
How
Day
long
was
they
yesterday.
Right. Right. All right. Trivia Friday will be 2 days from now. We still doing that, Walker?
We are. We're doing Trivia Friday, and tomorrow will be Facebook Live question and answer.
All right. Tell our listeners what we're going to be doing tomorrow. We did this last week. Our listeners enjoyed it, they said.
Oh, millions.
Yes.
And, you know, tuned
millions.
I think you're exaggerating a little bit, but anyway, go ahead, Walker.
I'm just saying what Ed says.
Yeah.
So tomorrow we'll be answering Facebook questions, and we'll be providing answers to the best of our ability. So we'll have a little fun there. You can go on the Today's Issues page, the live video feed. You can comment on the show. That's where we'll be able to answer your questions. And then, of course, Friday will be Trivia Friday. But before we move on to the news stories of the day, I wanted to mention what I thought was a comical comment on our Facebook page. David said, "This is one of the most comical episodes of Today's Issues I have ever heard, and yet chock full of truth, both biblical and worldly." And then he said, i.e. hen house and men shouldn't wear skinny jeans, in parentheses.
Right. And that's a country song right there. In fact, I think Diamond Rio cut that. Hen house and don't wear skinny jeans.
I wore skinny jeans into the hen house.
Right.
Yeah.
And what happened after that? We don't know.
I don't know.
We don't know. You're listening to Today's Issues. So if you want to check out our Today's Issues Facebook page, we're live video streaming there. And it's Walker just quoted one of our listeners who commented on the program there. Tomorrow from 11:05, this time right now, you're listening tomorrow from 11:05 to 11:30. We're going to be taking questions like we did last week. From you on our Facebook Live page and answering them.
And they can be about issues or they can be personal questions.
Yeah, yeah. We just don't take controversial doctrinal issues.
Yes.
We don't take them, so don't ask. because we're not going to answer them.
Don't ask where we stand on infant baptism.
Speaking in tongues. Role of women in the church.
Right. Go to your pastor if you've got a question about that.
You know, predestination versus free will of man.
Yeah.
That's only been a debate for 2,000 years.
Not going to do it.
You think Ed and I want to take that on? You really do? You want to get us? You want to catch us?
Yeah. In 2 minutes, please tell us what you feel about predestination versus free will.
Right.
Okay. It's been going on for 2,000 years. Yeah, we'll settle
it. Yeah, we'll settle it right here and make half our audience mad while we do. Hey, you want answers to those kinds of questions? As Ed says, ask your pastor, do your own research, or you can listen to Bert Dodge those questions at 3 o'clock in the afternoon central
on Exploring the Word
while Alex tries to answer them without offending anybody.
Right.
So tune in to Alex and Bert if you want to
exploring
get
exploring the word.
Right.
That's
so we're just telling you the ground rules are no controversial doctrinal questions where you're trying to catch Tim and Ed in error.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So, but otherwise, we'll take almost any kind of question right there. Okay. We're on Today's Issues tomorrow on American Family Radio. Think about it. You're in our place, folks. We're reaching a broad swath of the evangelical Christian community, and we have a doctrinal statement. We do have a doctrinal statement, and we are serious about the Christian faith.
Right.
The Apostles' Creed we subscribe to.
And the Word of God.
The Word of God is preached day after day on this network. The Word of God is inerrant. It is true. We will preach it as long as we're here. And but a lot of folks want to get you on things, and they don't really, a lot of our Christian brethren, they want to get into an argument on whether you worship on Saturday or Sunday.
Right.
And if you choose the wrong day, here they're coming at you.
they
want to argue with you for a couple days about it.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just not into that stuff. That's just not... We're not going
to
do that.
That's not what we're called to do.
No, we're called to do. We're not called to do that or wear skinny jeans.
But if you want to ask us if abortion is sinful or not,
we'll answer that.
Moral issues that the Bible talks about, we'll stand on the Word of God. Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Where do you stand on the subject of the all-important subject of skinny jeans?
Yeah. Oh, you don't want to see me in skinny jeans. Trust me. That would not... I'm picturing it in my mind, and now every listener is too. I'm picturing it looks more like a lollipop than a person. Just, if you can know what I mean.
Okay, let's move on. All right, I'm sorry I brought that up.
I can't get that image out of my mind.
Tim brought it up.
You brought it up first,
but Tim just now brought it up.
You know what I've discovered? I'm 54 years old right now. If you looked at my high school picture, you would say, I had hair down to my...
Yeah.
I wasn't a rebel or anything like that, but...
That was the style.
It was late 70s, and guys wore their hair out, down to their... over their ears and everything like that. But it's just, wore the bell bottoms in 76 and 77. Steve did too.
Yep,
I did.
So I guess in some ways, fashion changes, styles change, and they're not inherently wrong.
Right.
Most of the time, it's just the way things are. People change, but what I object to, I don't know why I'm going down this road, but I'm just going to tell you, it's the feminization of males.
Right.
That's what I object to. That's what I see a lot of this going on in style, the styles.
Yeah. Because they're not just skinny jeans, they're women's jeans.
They're girls' pants. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying here?
Well, you have major retailers who are even the children's section. They're doing these gender-neutral children's sections.
Yes, that's what I'm talking. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and it's because they ultimately would like there to be no separate sexual identities.
You see the male models, and they got makeup all on, and it's just... go ahead, Steve.
I'm confused.
Yes, Steve.
So
you thought this was a news program,
right? No. Back in the 70s and 80s, we kept hearing that men shouldn't dress like women and women shouldn't dress like men. So... back in my very conservative church in the 70s, it was not a good thing for women to wear pants. But now you're telling me that men shouldn't wear pants that were made for women.
Yes, so we're telling you that.
I'm a little confused here.
Well, we have our own Bible, Steve.
Okay.
Walker and I and Ed wrote our own edition.
I'm sorry.
When we put a few verses in there.
It's in the book of First Opinions.
Yeah, well, we put somewhere, it somewhere, right?
I will freely admit to being at times the old guy who's always saying, "Hey, you kids, get off my lawn." Okay?
Yeah.
So I'll admit there's some of that in there.
Yeah, there is. There is. No, can you judge a person's soul by the clothes they wear? I don't think so. But you can judge everything else. And Ed and I are here to do it, aren't we? High five me, Ed.
All right.
Go ahead, Steve.
All right.
Talk about your little news story, Steve. We're dealing with the hard issues of the day.
Go ahead, Steve, you liberal.
So, I want to know if when you were rolling around with long hair and bell-bottom jeans in the 70s, whether your father, Brother Don Wildman, who started this wonderful ministry, was praying for your mortal soul.
He was, but not because of that.
No, my dad didn't have a problem with my hair.
Okay, okay.
I wasn't, you know, did Jesus have long hair?
And sandals.
That's what they always say. I didn't wear sandals now.
I've actually read some stuff that said he had short hair.
Jesus had short hair?
Yeah. Oh, who knows?
Listen, I think we're getting off.
We are.
I got some news if you want.
Let's get some news. Yeah.
So
it's always left to me to keep the show
right.
Yeah, that's
on track.
After you run it off track.
The burden's always on me.
After you run us off the track, you got to get us back on the track. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Sure.
Okay, Steve. Ignore these guys and do your job.
I know that, Ed, you have already requested the Russia Files song today. But I do have a Russia Files story. So, with your permission,
let's do it.
This is from the Russia Files. There you go. It turns out that the Russian lawyer, Natalia Valianskaya, she met with Fusion GPS before and after she met with Donald Trump Jr.
Now, you have to explain who Fusion GPS is.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Fusion GPS was the company that was paid to bring up this nothing file on Donald Trump that had all these salacious allegations, and it's basically what Robert Mueller started his investigation on with the Donald Trump meddling issue. Mm-hmm. And so the lawyer met with them, so the people that were trying to get Trump were in on this before and after, allegedly, Trump was trying to meet with Valianskaya. So what that means is the Democrats who were paying for this file had been colluding with Russia long before, during, and after they alleged the Trump administration or campaign was talking about this. Now, I have Trent Franks, our good friend from Arizona, who is, I believe, is he the one? No, it's a different one. But I have Trent Franks speaking on this from the Senate floor, from the House floor, I should say, and talking about what is going on here. This is Trent Franks.
Mr. Speaker, last Monday, October 30th, we were delivered the overhyped bombshell story, special counsel Robert Mueller would introduce some evidence about President Trump's collusion with Russia via indictments. And it caused every political pundit in the country to begin surmising who would be the first to fall. Then the big reveal. Paul Manafort and Rick Gates were indicted for crimes related to their business dealings with a Ukrainian politician clinging to power in a country undergoing revolution back in 2014. There was no mention of the Trump campaign, not any whatsoever in the 12-count indictment. Mainstream media members who had all spent all weekend promising the viewers and their readers some new evidence about Trump were aghast. Mueller had let them down. How could they face their audience now with nothing to show? But wait, another indictment snuck in the last few hours, only a few hours later, right in the neck of time. George Papadopoulos, he actually went to Russia and he proposed Trump meet with Putin. We've got him now. Well, no. Turns out Papadopoulos was an unpaid intern who possessed a background in researching Russia. When he suggested Trump meet with the Russians, he was shot down quickly and firmly. And the indictment against Papadopoulos didn't even have to do with his work on the campaign. Again, no collusion with the Trump campaign found whatsoever. But that didn't stop the media from sensationalizing the news. After all, they have a job to do. But the American people didn't fall for it, Mr. Speaker. The New Yorker's legal writer, Jeffrey Toben, and the liberal Vox.com have suggested that Mueller seems to be conducting his investigation like he's going after a mafia mob boss. The problem with treating the Trump campaign as an organized crime organization, clearly, as it presumes Trump's guilt, no matter how well-intentioned and full of integrity Mr. Mueller might be, if he is treating Trump like Al Capone, his tactics are wrong.
So finally, it's come up on the House floor.
Yeah, this is a, you know, we're still waiting for a link, and you're talking about this Russian lawyer, Natalia Veselnitskaya. We're still waiting for a link of all this to the campaign. This is the way the investigation began. It was to try to discover whether there had been collusion between, which I still don't know is technically illegal, but was there collusion between the Trump campaign and a foreign government to try to undermine the campaign of Trump's opponent, Hillary Clinton. And so we are still waiting for any evidence related to that particular charge, which was the whole purpose of the special counsel.
Tom Fitton, who is the guy with Judicial Watch that has been just a champion in finding all these documents about the election, and he's been he was the one that uncovered a lot of the stuff about this Fusion GPS connection with the Democrat Party. He says that the Mueller probe is what is a legal term called fruit of the poisonous tree. Basically, what that says, if you get some evidence that's illegally gotten, anything that comes after that is disallowed or should not be allowed in a court. You go and you lie to somebody, and under false pretenses, you get them to admit that they may have been involved in a robbery. You can't. Because it was illegally gotten, you can't use that. Not only that, but if you go and investigate the robbery and find out that the person also absconded with some money from his work, you can't use that either, because it all goes back to what that was illegally gotten. So they're still trying to make that case, and they're not making it.
Yeah, I think it's the Congress has to reel Mueller in. The Senate does, because, and there has been talk amongst some Republicans, not many, about basically disarming the Mueller team. I think the president should have done it. I think it's too late now to basically fire Robert Mueller and his team, the special counsel. He should have done it a long time ago before there were charges and all of this. But they're going to drag this thing on. I don't think anyone's going to be, they're not going to find any collusion. But they're going to drag this on probably past the 2018 primary election, Republican election.
Does President Trump have, and I'm not talking about political implications here, does he have the legal authority to fire him?
Yes, but he has to, there has to be reasonable cause.
He can't just say. Technically, he has to get the FBI to fire him.
Right, so he would get Rosenstein. He would need a recommendation, just like he fired James Comey. He would need a recommendation and a reason from Rosenstein, because Sessions has recused himself.
Okay,
so
which
it would
is
be,
why President Trump got upset with Attorney General Sessions. Right. But here's the reason I bring that up. I'm with Ed. Ed has been right all along on this. What President Trump needs to do publicly is time limit this, and at To the average American out there, that would seem fair, and it would keep this from becoming a expanded fishing expedition. You know, throwing 10 hooks over the boat, see if you can catch a fish. And they already caught Manafort and whoever else are going to catch on sideline peripheral issues.
Right.
Well, not even peripheral. They have nothing to do with the Trump campaign and the election. It was something else. But just do like Ed says, President Trump come out and say, listen, I'm giving you to whatever you want to say. I'm giving you to the end of January. And then if you hadn't got any indictments, any more information, related to collusion from the campaign, then we're wrapping this thing up. But I'm just telling you, you got 2 months, you got 3 months, whatever he wants to give him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and traditionally, they're in order to launch a special counsel or even an investigation, there has to be evidence of a crime committed. There can't be discussion or rumors of a crime that was committed. For example, with Hillary Clinton, she admitted my server that I used for the Department of State was in a bathroom in some apartment.
I authorized it. Why? To hide myself from Congress, congressional oversight.
And I signed off on it. Right. So right there, by her own admission, there is a criminal act.
Right.
And that is...
She should be in jail.
That is housing classified information in an apartment bathroom, unsecured server, and at her house, where her maid had access to. So if you say, well, there needs to be an investigation there. Yes, there should be an investigation there, because there is a crime that's been committed, and there's been admission of the crime committed. But with the president, with President Trump's campaign, the whole collusion narrative, there's not one specific example of a federal crime that was committed that the perpetrator has agreed to. Yes, I did this. And
even if they just have to have evidence. So the guy doesn't admit it, but the evidence that they used was this file that GPS, Fusion GPS, put together, which now has been discredited and disproven. So that's what started this whole mess. It's now proven to be...
Right, and now you have the whole Uranium One situation connected to this. And wasn't Robert Mueller in on that? As Attorney General, he was...
Well, he was the FBI director.
FBI director, rather.
Yeah, and they swept that under the rug. Yeah. One person pled guilty. And
also, you got the whole situation, we mentioned this before, of former AG and now special counselor, special prosecutor, whatever you want to call him, Mueller, is good buddies with his star witness. I mean, they're professional colleagues and good friends, and Robert Mueller was James Comey's mentor. Mm-hmm. And the way I read it, you're not supposed to, that's a conflict of interest. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you're not supposed to have that. You're supposed to avoid that.
Right.
So anyway.
Both Greg Jarrett and Judge Napolitano on Fox News have written extensively on what you just said.
All right, Steve, what do you got lastly?
Let me pull this one from the Snowflake Files.
Hey, 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 Snowflake.
Snowflake.
My pretty little snowflake.
A woman is calling Taco Bell racist. This woman walked into a Taco Bell in an unnamed source, and she wanted to order French fries.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we don't sell French fries. Mm-hmm. She goes, well, isn't this Burger King? They said, no, this is Taco Bell. And she says, well, I still want French fries. They said, we don't sell French fries. And she says, well, there you go, racism at work.
Mm. Wow.
That woman has to be mentally ill.
She might have been under the influence of something other than tacos. just saying.
She was a white woman?
She was.
She's a white woman and she wants fries at Taco Bell?
Yes.
Or it's
and
racist?
If she doesn't get it, it's racist?
Yes.
See, this is proof that anybody can be racist.
Or stupid.
I mean, literally, anyone can be.
Well, her literal statement was, this is racism at its finest.
Racist?
Surely she jest.
She may have been drunk. You can't... You can't go in and ask Taco Bell to make French fries or you're racist and be in your
There
right
was
mind.
An audio recording of this which contains some foul language, so I'm not going to recommend
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
But she was insistent that she should be able to get...
Well, we needed some reason to play that Snowflake song, so we found one. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Walker Ed, thanks.
You bet.
We shall see you back here tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.